Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you as always by Golding Accountancy. We are golding.com. If you've just realised that you need to file your tax return, when's the 31st? Or is it Monday? By next Monday, then give them a call. How are you? I am good. I need to turn the sound off on my computer so it doesn't keep beeping. Oh, and my phone. I'm very professional. I'm good. Thank you for listening. If this is your first time, hi. This week, I was joined by the amazing Esther from Dada Natural. She was recommended to me by my lovely friend Nicole, who recommends loads of people for my podcast because she's the best friend in the whole wide world. And this is honestly one of my favourite episodes ever, I think. We had such a laugh, and she's such an interesting person. She's lived a life, I'll put it like that. And sadly, she discovered that she had cancer, and then she wanted to go on like a very healthy kick, and basically started her own organic skincare range. So this is her story about her life, through partying a lot and having a lot of fun, to then finding out things weren't that great and what it's led her to do. But yeah, it's a really nice chat, and she has also recommended loads of people to for me to talk to, which I'm very excited about as well. So thank you very much, Esther. I will obviously post links so you can find her and buy her stuff. But yeah, enjoy, and I'll see you in a bit.
Work.
This is really funny because I do feel like I'm looking in a mirror a bit.
I know there's a bit of that.
On,
there is a bit of that. I'm like, yeah, all right, hello.
Have you just had your hair done?
No, I bleached my own. So I did it.
Oh, do you?
Funnily enough, I was looking at it. I can give you some. I found this most amazing stuff. I did it about 5 weeks ago, but I looked in the mirror the other day and was like, I don't seem to have any roots.
Oh my God, that's. Roots at all.
No, it's nuts, isn't it? Which I don't know if that's because it's cold, so my hair's growing a bit slower. Is it because of all the cancer stuff that means my hair grows slower? I don't know, but normally I've got roots by now. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, but sod's law, the one time I cocked it up, so the front's all yellow and the back's all grey, and I want it to grow out quickly, and I'm like, hello, people.
That's why.
Yeah, sod's law. No, I found this stuff called, it's seaweed. It hasn't got any ammonia in it. And I leave it on for 3 hours and my hair's fine. No breakage. My head doesn't burn.
Goodness.
I'll hook you up. It's the best stuff.
Yeah, do. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What, and it bleaches it?
Yeah. A friend of mine recommended it and I was like, that's not going to do it. You don't understand. And then I did it and it worked. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Wow. Because my daughter, she's 10 and I've let her bleach her hair.
Fair play.
Because she's had it all cut off. She's now growing it into like a mullet. But she's got her. But obviously, bleach is awful for your hair. But that'd be good if it's more like a natural thing.
It is. It is. I started going to like an organic hairdressers.
Oh yeah. Where are you?
I'm in Brixton, in London.
Okay.
Yeah. Where are you?
South Woodford.
Oh right. Oh okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Central line.
Other end of the central line.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So no, I started going to organic hairdressers in town because I take it you don't know anything about my background at all.
No.
No. So I got.
So quickly, yeah. Let's just say hi, Esther.
Hi.
From Dada Natural.
Yes. Hello. That would be me.
Yes.
Hi. Hello, Amy. Mum and Mama. Let's
carry on.
Yeah. So yeah. No. So back in 2016, I got diagnosed with breast cancer, completely out of the blue. And so off the back of that, I cut out anything nasty. I tried to just really, especially when I was having chemo, I ate only organic food. And just really tried to be quite staunch about it, because when I got diagnosed, my lump was quite big, my cancer was quite far advanced. It was like averagely aggressive, which my sister found hilarious. She was like, "For the first time in your life, you're average," and it was like, "Yes, I'll own that one. That would be lovely, thanks." So yeah, I just sort of tried to find different things to support my system holistically, and off the back of that, a friend of mine who I met via I think it was like a Facebook group I was on, she suggested this, and she's got bright red hair, and I was like, as I said, yeah, she, I was like, this is never going to work. And I went to the hairdressers a few times, but his products are amazing, but I couldn't be bothered to spend like 5 or 6 hours of my life sitting in a hairdresser's chair.
It's
a commitment, a time, you know what I mean? Actually. I was sort of, life's too short. But yeah, I was always a bit nervous about doing it myself. And then obviously lockdown hit and I was like, sod it, I'm committed to blonde. Yeah. So I just bought some online and did it. And it's great. Love it. And that's that.
It looks wicked.
Thank you.
I'd never have guessed it was a home job.
I know, I'm quite pleased with it.
But then that is the bonus of having short hair, because whatever happens, it doesn't take that long to go.
Exactly. Well, unless you want it to, in which case, obviously, you get no roots after 5 weeks. So I'd quite like to shave it all off again. But my partner keeps looking quite pained at the thought, because obviously, for him and for my family, me having a shaved head represents me being really ill.
Yes,
whereas for me, that was one of the best bits about being ill. I was like, great, I'll just shave my head, it's cool, and just get on with it. I walked around quite proudly like Yul Brynner for 9 months, just like put coconut oil on my head and just rocked it with a little trilby, and that was that. So
was it completely bald?
I had not a hair on my body, and it's nuts when you have chemo. No one warns you about this stuff. I knew that I was going to lose my hair, but what I didn't realise was that I lost every hair. And so now I understand that cancer is basically rapidly dividing cells. And so when you have chemo, it kills off any rapidly dividing cells. But unfortunately, hair is also a rapidly dividing cell. So that's why you lose it. So I tried to really kind of reframe it. I know a lot of people get quite distressed about losing their hair, quite understandably so, you know. I'm not judging anyone, but I think because of my style, I suppose, my background, I just didn't care about having a shaved head, you know. All about the earrings, let's go, loads of black eyeliner, we'll rock it. And so I just tried to remind myself that every time more hair fell out, that it was actually the chemo was working, the treatment was doing its job. And the process of it falling out was quite difficult. Getting in the shower and having huge lumps of hair coming out was upsetting.
How long was your hair? Did you have short hair like you have now, or was it long?
Not quite so short. It was more sort of jaw length. I had I had a really bad bob, actually. Everyone I know is in complete agreement that, like, losing my hair was a good thing.
Yeah.
And it was funny. No one thought to mention it at the time. They were all like, oh, you look so much better. And it's like, hello, could someone have told me this back in the day? But I look back and it was like, yeah, still bleached and quite fried and a bit dry.
Yeah.
Wasn't my best look. No. So
a friend of mine, I used to do the podcast with her, Harry. She had cancer, but she's got photos of her fridge of all different times in her life. But she obviously went through a stage where she had really short hair, and it looks banging. And I'm like, you know, you should totally do that again. But it holds too many memories.
Yeah.
Which is completely understandable.
I mean, I get that. My best friend also had cancer. It's been eventful the last few years, I think. My partner's also just had cancer. He came out of hospital 2 days ago.
Oh God.
I feel a bit like the cancer fairy at the moment. It's a bit much. But however, He's okay. He will be okay. I'm okay. Touch wood. Yeah. I will be okay. Sadly, my best friend did not make it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's like, you know, 2 out of 3 is not a bad average. Kind of wish it had been 3 out of 3, obviously. Well, not kind of. Absolutely, I wish that. But I'm quite superstitious. So I'm a bit like, I've done the 3. Everything comes in 3s. I've done my 3.
Yeah.
You know, touching wood again. She said so clutching.
How was it? So obviously you said you were complete, you didn't have a clue. How did you find, a lump?
Yeah. So she, I was in that world anyway. She'd just had hers. And the reason I brought her up is because she looked absolutely sexy as fuck with a shaved head. And after her hair grew back, because her cancer went before it came back again. And I remember desperately trying to persuade her to keep her hair shaved. Because she just pulled off this like really beautiful ethereal Buddhist vibe. I don't have that vibe, even with the shaved head. Like, I am not ethereal in any way, shape or form. But she really did. And now I just, that was always my lesson that I held dear, actually. But, I'd been on holiday. I'd been sunbathing topless, doing my thing, rubbing in my cream, all the rest of it, nothing.
Yeah.
Came back and then, like, literally a couple of weeks later, so it literally must have just popped up out of nowhere, even if it had been ticking away in the background. And I was in the shower and I went to wash my armpit and I was like, whoa-ho-hoo. And it was literally, like, the size of an egg. This massive lump on the side of my breast. And at the time, I was like a 30 double F. So I had quite an impressive rack going on. So the fact that I could feel this huge lump in my impressive rack was like, this is a bit concerning. I went to the GP and I asked for a referral. And they kind of said it was probably a cyst. And I was like, yeah, that would make sense. And I know that runs in my family. My sister's had that. So they referred me under the 2-week rule. Which thankfully at the time was still 2 weeks. And I know, you know, it must be terrifying to be diagnosed at the minute. I can't even begin to imagine. Well, I don't even have to imagine. So, yeah. But, so when I went there, they also said, oh, yeah, it's probably a cyst. We can either, I think they call it excise. And basically, they could either remove it there and then, or I could wait, go see the person who with the ultrasound and have a bit of anaesthetic. And I was like, put me down for the anaesthetic, please, because this is huge. And it's kind of lucky that I did, because I don't know what would have happened otherwise. I'd have tried to get rid of it, and I think it would have just been a lot more traumatic. And when I went, I remember it really clearly, actually, because I'm quite, I'm very hectic. Everything's always like rush, rush, rush. And when I got there, I had a meeting or something, and they were running quite behind. And I remember at the time going, I've really got to go. I'm so sorry. Like, can I come back another time and do this? And the woman who'd done the ultrasound was like, no, we'll sort something out. Like, super casual. She was really professional about it, but obviously she knew. And so they rushed me back in, and I just remember being really naive and going, oh, that's very nice of you, thank you. Like, she was like, oh, well, we understand that you've got somewhere to be. And I was like, oh, that's very sweet, jeez. But looking back, it was like, obviously they didn't just want me to leave the building with undiagnosed cancer, when, having clocked it on the ultrasound, she knew immediately what it was, even though it hadn't been confirmed. Because obviously they can't tell you it's anything until they've got the biopsy back. So, yeah, that was that, really. And then they came back, and I went with my partner, and he said he knew before I did, because we walked in the room and there was a Macmillan nurse sitting there. And again, I just didn't really clock, you know. I just wasn't, I don't know. Yeah. But he'd been through this with his dad, so he said as soon as he saw the Macmillan nurse, he knew. And and that was that, really. Yeah, it was a roller coaster. The fun did not stop, what can I say? So they told me originally I was going to have something called a lumpectomy, and that meant they would have just removed the lump and then given me a bit of a nip and a tuck at the same time. So I was like, brilliant, you know. Yeah. I'm nearly 40, you know, they could probably do with like removing back to where they started. So I was quite up for all of that. And then halfway through my treatment, so I don't know if you know what BRCA1 is.
No.
Stop me if I'm talking a lot, by the way. I don't know.
No, No, so this is what this is about. So it's all good.
Yeah, so BRCA1, it's a gene mutation. Get BRCA1 and BRCA2. And the BRCA gene is what stops you getting breast cancer. Because what I didn't realise was that all of us, every day, we get cancer like 30, 40 times a day. All of us. But our bodies have this incredible like filtration system that's like an early warning signal that shuts it back down and deals with it. Who knew? But the BRCA 1 and 2 mutation means that it doesn't work properly in terms specifically of breast and ovarian cancer.
Yeah.
And it's quite prevalent in the Jewish community, and I'm Jewish. So initially they were like, oh, you've not got it. You've not got BRCA. And my sister, God, I love her for this, was a bit like, no, I'm not buying it. Hang on, I'm going to go away and do this huge family tree. She came back and there was this really clear line. Oh, I got goosebumps. Really clear line on my dad's side of link with either breast or ovarian cancer. And so we took that back to the oncologist and was like, hello. And he said, good point. Maybe we should test you. And so they did. And it came back positive for a mutation, which meant that I was always, throughout my life, I've been approximately 75 to 80% risk of breast cancer and about 45 to 50% risk of ovarian cancer. Nuts, huh?
Why don't they test everyone? How difficult is it to do the test?
Nuts. Really not. It's a blood test. It's a blood test.
Why don't they test
everyone? Yeah, I know. And weirdly, this is where it gets even spookier, is I remember being on holiday about 8 or 9 years earlier with a friend of mine. We went on some girls' holiday to like Cos, I think it was, and I remember hanging out in the pool with this like super cool chick who had like a great taste in vintage bikinis, and it was like, oh, I like you, and we were chatting, and she was someone else who also had a great rack. I don't know if like BRCA and a great rack go hand in hand. And I'll never forget, we were chatting and she said, oh, I'm having them removed because I've got a mutation that puts me at risk, and so I'm going to have preventative surgery. And at the time I remember thinking, oh, I should get tested for that. Parked it to the back of my head, as you do, and then 8 years later, what do you know?
Is that what Angelina Jolie had?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I don't know why. It's not very sisterhoodly of me. There's just something about her that gets up my nose. I don't know what it is. She does all the right things. She's amazing in so many ways. She's like such an incredibly powerful figure, but she just annoys me.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's just got a bad PR team. I don't know. I don't really spend that much time thinking about her. But at one point they started calling it the Angelina Jolie gene. And I was like, drop me right out. But then I had to think about it and was like, do you know what though? If it raises the profile and if people are able to understand it and are able to know what that is to then start talking about it, well then, you know, good on her for even having that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, because I was positive, it meant it must have come from somewhere.
Yeah.
So my family had to get tested and it turned out that my dad was BRCA1 and heartbreakingly, so was my sister. Oh, I feel all emotional, a bit emotional. She had one boy at the time, also a great rack. I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah.
She was like a G cup or something crazy.
Jesus and, Christ.
I know, it just must run in the family. Although I think there's a Frank Zappa song about Jewish girls with big boobs. I think it's also just like a thing. So yeah, she had it, but of course, one of the things you can do, or the recommended way of dealing with it is that you have your ovaries removed, and you have a prophylactic bilateral mastectomy. So it's a big thing. Not everyone goes down that path, but given that she was watching her 39-year-old sister go down the route of cancer, she was like, you know, just do it. But obviously, it snowballs into this whole other event, you know, like. I can't have children. She can't have any more children. So she sped up and had another wonderful little girl who is just incredible. So she's got two and then went ahead and did the surgery.
Wow. So she had both
done. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I had mine done. I had mine done like November 2016.
Yeah.
And I think she had hers done probably about a year later. So... the fallout from it is just immense. My dad just felt incredibly responsible.
But he didn't know, did he?
Completely. But I mean, I suppose as a dad, you want to protect your kids from everything possible.
Yeah.
And it was just very nuanced.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah. So my partner and I talked about it at the time about did we want kids? But they said that if I did, I'd have to like do it immediately. I couldn't like freeze eggs and stuff. And that even if I did like the treatment, I think that my eggs would have been really poor because of the chemo.
Oh, yeah.
They'd have been in a really poor state. So there was just, they didn't think it would be very likely.
Yeah.
And that even if I did do it, I'd, all the hormones out to inject me with, excuse me, would put me at risk of having cancer.
Yeah.
It was just a mess.
Yeah.
It was just
a mess. Yeah.
But I mean, in all honesty, I'm kind of glad I didn't go through the process. I kind of am though. Actually, let me back that up. If by me doing all of that meant that my sister didn't have to have cancer.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah.
All good. Like that, you know, I've got a lot of, got a lot of amends to make in my life from having lived a very full and hedonistic life, shall we say.
Well, exactly.
So in a way, a bit of me was like, how's always 80% likely. So all of you fuckwits coming at me with your passive aggression and telling me that, you know, maybe if I'd have lived my life a little healthier, I wouldn't be in this position. You can take your judgments and you can shove them, basically.
Yeah. I don't think. I wouldn't worry about that.
I don't. I really don't.
You enjoyed yourself. That's the most important thing.
I very much did. So, yeah, if it meant that, you know, that was my amends to her.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is. I'm quite philosophical about it. And actually, I realised it wasn't not having children that upset me. It was my choice being removed that upset me.
Yes. Yeah, I understand that.
Mm.
And the thing is, it's all right, hindsight, whatever, but it's like, you might not have been able to get pregnant. You might have had an absolute nightmare going through IVF. Like, there's so many variables that could have happened.
Completely.
It's shit if it's something you wanted and then you couldn't have it, that's really shit. But you never know what's in the future.
Completely.
I know a lot of people that have had so much IVF and they've not got pregnant. I know people, it always seems to be the people that don't want to get pregnant straight away.
Yeah.
There's so much, you know, I just think you've got to just try and concentrate on what you have now. And like you said, with your sister, plus you've got a niece and a nephew, you've got all the fun without the problems.
No, completely. No, I can't stress enough. I don't want kids. I didn't want kids. And it's taken me hindsight to realise that I didn't want kids. What I wanted was to want kids, if that makes sense. This like societal pressure and like what makes you feminine and all that kind of stuff. Like, and actually just nonsense. You know, it's just nonsense. And that was one of the really like incredible gifts that I got from cancer. I really hate that term. It was such a gift. But I can't think of any other way to describe it. But I had no hair. I had no boobs, I had no ovaries, and I had never felt more womanly in my life. And it really just, it's innate, it's within, you know, it's not any of the trappings that go with it. And it's like, that's what makes me so annoyed. I'm just going to flip subjects onto turfism, just gently. We don't have to go there. But, you know, with a lot of the feminist movement that are insisting that trans women can't be women because they don't have wombs or because they can't bear children. And I just really want to just poke them all in the eye with a knitting needle because it's just, I don't know your views. I don't know if I've just opened up a little rabbit's hole there.
No, not at all. I've got a problem with anyone telling someone else what they can and cannot be. That's what I have a problem with. And I think the whole, my brain doesn't work well enough for me to explain what I'm thinking sometimes, but I just think the whole idea of gender and all that shit, it's like, I just think people are people and you should be whatever you want to be if what makes you happy. Do you know what
totally.
I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
It's not anyone else's business.
Yeah, exactly that. Very much so. And I agree. My brain doesn't always work well enough. And I think that's the other thing that they don't talk to us about is like menopause as women get older and how our brains work. And it's like, thanks. Cheers for that. So I kind of,
I had menopause coupled with chemo brain all at the same time, and it was like,
oh yeah, of course. So you had your ovaries removed.
Yeah.
So you went through the menopause.
Yeah.
How's that been?
Buckle up, baby. I mean, I've been bonkers. I have been.
Are you taking the drugs?
I can't. I can't. Oh, I took all the drugs, but these particular drugs I can't take, which is really frustrating.
Oh, fucking hell.
Because the thing is, some cancers, they are... do you see how I sideswift the turf discussion? Just can't be doing it, not on a Friday afternoon. But, you get different... All the cancers have got, like, different drivers, and mine was hormone-driven. And then you mark it out. You've got, like, 8 different markers. Anyway, long story short, mine was, like, the maximum for all the hormones. So things like HRT just leave me at great risk of it coming back. And I have to take medication every day that blocks all my estrogen. So HRT would just be completely counterproductive.
So what can you do?
I ate a lot of ice cream. I thought I was all right. My partner said I was not. Yeah, I could be moody at the best of times, so, like, bless him, he's obviously put up with a fair amount. But I mean, it's been 4 or 5 years, it's nearly 5 years ago now.
Are you feeling better now?
Oh my god.
Does it stop?
Kind of. So, yeah. I have 2 things to share with you that I am practically evangelical about.
Yeah.
The first is magnesium. No one told me that the menopause brings insomnia. I raised it with my mum, and she was like, oh yeah. Yeah. And it was like, cool, thanks, should have said. But not just my mum, but like society at large.
The
conversations are starting to happen now about menopause, you know, like with the company I work at, they're starting to put policies in place. And this is all a great thing. You know, we need to normalise that conversation. But like 5 years ago, it felt much more like, of a pardon the pun, but like a barren wasteland in that sense. So magnesium, if I use magnesium every night I sleep. That's a great stuff. And the other thing is, have you ever heard of kefir?
Yes.
Amazing stuff. So with the menopause came a great deal of anxiety, which I'd never had before. I suddenly went from, like, not giving a monkeys about most things in life to not sleeping and just being incredibly anxious about everything. And it was hideous.
Yeah.
Like, hideous. Yeah, kefir. I started taking it about a year ago now, because I thought, oh, probiotics would be healthy, let me give it a go, why not?
Yeah.
And after about 6 weeks, I was like, oh my god, I feel incredible, and my anxiety had gone. And
that's
as long
amazing.
As I it is, as long as I keep drinking kefir and like sort my gut health out, which does make sense.
It does.
After that
your
much chemo,
your stomach's linked to anxiety, isn't it? I've
yes.
got a book called it's about your stomach being the second brain.
Yes.
Yes, I haven't read it. My yoga teacher told me about it, and I was like, oh, I love that, and I got it, and I haven't bloody read it.
Yeah.
But I used to make my own kefir.
Yes, nice. What, milk or water?
I can't remember. It was when I went very hippie when I had my first daughter. My friend is a naturopath, and I think she gave me some stuff to start it off, and I used to make it myself.
Oh, nice.
But this is 10 years ago, and my memory's awful, but then I don't have it anymore. I just take normal probiotics at the moment. But I did used to have it, and I quite like the taste of it. The milk
this
one,
is
though.
It.
I've not had the water one.
No, so I make the water one. And it's really easy. I can send you some grains if you want. I've got them in the freezer. It's loads cheaper than taking probiotics. Yeah. But I flavour mine with, like, the first ferment I use a slice of lemon, and then the second ferment I use, like, a little bit of fresh ginger. So it's, like, almost like homemade ginger beer, but healthy,
lovely.
Fizzy. It's gorgeous.
Oh yeah, I love a bit of that,
and it makes me not mad, so perfect.
That's amazing, isn't it? My friend, I've had them on the podcast actually too, my friends talking about the menopause, and one was a metropolitan police officer.
Mm-hmm.
So she's quite a courageous woman. She can't drive at night now, and she can't drive on the motorway, and you wouldn't, if you met her, you would not have a clue of the stuff that she now can't do because of the menopause.
Exactly.
It's
that
crazy.
Exactly that. It's nuts. I went from just, I mean, I am still quite loud and vivacious, but I was just crippled. And it made my head hurt. It was exhausting because all I do was just, like, second guess myself constantly, or given half an hour, at which point I would have used to have dreamt of like beautiful and incredible places with which to visit, I'd spend that half an hour just tearing strips off myself inside about how I should have done this differently and how I could have done that differently, and overthinking everything. It was hideous, really hideous. So yeah, I'm really relieved it's gone.
Yeah,
to be honest.
God. Yeah. Down to full bloody chemo and cancer and.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, I know it was a bit much.
Fun time,
but it's definitely improved. Life's all right. Life's all right. I think on reflection, I didn't want kids, as I said, so actually I dodged the bullet there. I mean, each to their own, but for me, I dodged my own bullet because I think the thought of having a, say, 2 or 3 year old now, and it's just not.
I'm
very much committed to being the fabulous aunt, and I will do that with every stylish bone in my body. But my partner and I, we're making plans to move abroad. I want off Plague Island. I'm done. Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
Thinking Croatia, hopefully.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, I found a place. Want to open like a little guest house. Well, he's a wicked gardener. Wants to grow some. You know, he grows veg at the moment in Brixton, but we'd like some more land to do that. I ride motorbikes and make bread. That's what I want to do.
Brilliant. Oh, that
sounds perfect. I mean,
perfect.
I do that anyway, but I just like to do it more.
And Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Life
because the
short.
Thing is, with kids, you are then tied to schools, unless you want to homeschool, but that's a whole nother. But who was I talking to? My friend. I was a promoter that I work with. I was emailing her yesterday, and she's like, oh, you get like the auto reply, don't you? She's in Mexico for 3 months.
Nice. Nice.
Because she's going to be 40 soon and she didn't want to be here. And I'm like, I would love to just go to Mexico for 3 months, but I can't because my kids are in school.
How old are they?
8 and 10. So, I mean, okay. I could, but then I'm going to have to be responsible for their education on top of having to work and on top of everything else.
Yeah.
And I just, and plus they like, they're settled. They're happy in their lives. That's a big upheaval, I think. If they were a lot younger, then... Yeah, I think it's different.
It's that medium age, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got a lot of friends that live on the road, though, that have got their kids with them and we're doing the whole homeschooling thing and, you know.
Yeah. I think if you can do it,
yeah.
Good luck to you. Like, if I was a different person, I wouldn't mind doing that, travelling around and doing whatever. But after the lockdown homeschooling experience, I can say without a doubt.
Yeah. I used to speak to my sister and she'd be like, is 11 too early for a glass of wine? I feel like it's not. So fair enough. I can't say I blame you at all. No.
So
what kind of music are you into?
Well, the agency, I've been a DJ agent ever since I started working.
Oh, have you? Okay.
But I fell into it. I used to work for the Dream Team, Garage DJs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got involved in dubstep world.
Okay.
And that's kind of continued, but that's not really my cup of tea. I'm garage raver and R&B, but I listen to Six Music all day. I kind of like alternative.
Same. I love Six. They are the ones.
Six Music. Yes.
Yeah. Hip-hop, I don't mind a bit of garage. Like, I was always much more kind of drum and bass, just loads of fat jungle. I'm a happy camper.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I come from a free party background. So there was just a lot of that going on, more so than clubs. So there was just a lot of travelling and technivals and rigs and all that kind of thing. So,
were you involved in the raves?
I didn't have a rig in that sense, but yeah, I was always floating around with one sound system or another.
Yeah.
Not the early raves, but in terms of things like Bedlam and Spiral Tribe and all that lot, they're all kind of mutual friends that have gone off and done stuff, but I never did anything like particular.
Yeah. Are you from Brixton?
No, I'm from Northwest London. I'm from near Watford.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I ended up moving down here maybe 8 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah. So I started travelling around probably about 16, 17, 18, 19, around there. Kind of my friends at that point all decided that I'd been kidnapped and run away to join the circus, and just ended up with loads of rigs travelling all over like Europe and stuff and living in like India and Thailand and all that kind of thing. Yeah, but then about, must be 12, 13 years ago, like what goes up must come down, as they say. And so I had to have a real, like, long, hard look at my life and make some changes. So I came back to England and just, rebuilt it from the ground up.
Where have you lived?
Everywhere and nowhere, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because obviously a lot of friends were living in lorries, and I didn't quite get it together to drive, but I was always staying with one friend or another in various different lorries, or you get on trains, planes and automobiles, and then just sleep under the lorry at the other end. Oh, and that's the thing, if you go into a technival, you know how it is, you're at a rave for a week, you're not going to sleep. So you don't, it was just one of them. And then I ended up in Thailand maybe for about a year, hazy, about a year maybe, and then in India for a couple of years. So that's why there was quite a long queue of people that were like, oh, you know, maybe if you'd have made some different lifestyle choices, you wouldn't have cancer. And no, I was able to say no. I raved my little heart out, and it wouldn't have made any difference. And I had a great time. So
what did you do when you got back to England? Were you just on the biggest come down ever for?
No, I went to rehab. I mean, I did. Let's have it right. I am under no pretense that I was like, I did a juice detox. No, I did the whole shebang.
How long were you in rehab for?
6 months. Did a detox.
Okay.
Yeah, at London's very own City Roads, which was around, that's been closed down now, which is just a great shame.
Has it?
Yeah. Closed down a few years ago. And it's a shame, because I think I'd probably be dead without them. And I know many people in the same position, because not everyone's got it about them to... Because they were a rapid access detox, you could literally just call up a few times and within a few days you could be in. Whereas detox these days, because it's the field that I work within, these days a lot of the time, because of funding limitations, you have to put like 6 months' worth of work in. Someone like me that couldn't sit down for more than 5 minutes or stay in the country more than 2 weeks, like, there was no way I was gonna do that.
So
I did that, and then so I was 12 years clean in November.
Well, congratulations. So,
thank you very much. It's doing all right.
Wow, how was it being in rehab?
A relief. If I'm honest, it was a relief. They talk a lot about acceptance, you know, and I think there was a lot of people that were trying to fight it. But I think when I got there, I was just so done that I was just kind of like, right, I'm ready to make some changes, whatever they might be. But I think in many ways, it's been noticed by friends as well, which I take as a great compliment, if I'm honest. But because I knew who I was, to a degree, when you get clean, obviously you find out all the things about yourself that you've been running from. But because I had a life and I'd done some stuff, I knew that I'd be able to get clean and do whatever I wanted, and I was able to like own my strength in that.
Whereas
for some people, they get clean and they've never done anything, and they haven't got any skills of any sort or any experience other than using them. I've got the utmost respect for those people, because they really just have to take it back to basics. I mean, we all do, but I think I just had that innate belief that I knew I'd be all right.
I was like the original bad Penny. I always just rocked up okay with a story to tell, you know. I felt, I don't know, they're just different journeys, aren't they? But rehab, I was all right.
What led you then to doing your company? Let's talk about the reason why I asked you to come.
Yeah.
The reason why you were suggested.
Yeah. Well, no, because the Meet the Maker thing was, I basically talked a bit about my journey, and I talked about the cancer stuff and the BRCA and how it led me to where I am now. So, basically, when I was having treatment, as I said, I cut out all nasties. And so I sort of slowly started... I just like had a little look about how to make my own body butters and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I started making it, making a lot more of my own food, and, you know, just really enjoying that process.
Yeah.
And then,
had you ever done anything like that before?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really, no, but I'm quite crafty in that sense. And like my sister ran her own cake business for years, or the last few years. And my mum's always been an incredible cook. So I remember my mum always, if she wanted like some sort of decorative stuff doing in the house, she'd try and do it herself. And so I've always come from that kind of mentality. So I was like, oh, I'll have a go. Why not? See what happens. And this is the thing. So with the treatment, I ended up with skin like velvet. It was incredible. But I realised it was also because of the changes I'd made.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts. My skin had never looked better or felt better. And it was because I cut all the crap out. So I thought, you know what, I'm onto something with that. I'm going to
say. So what did you cut out?
Everything. I mean, everything. So, and it was literally like an overnight thing.
Because normally I would imagine with most people, if you decide to go organic, it's like a gradual process.
Yeah. But
because I literally, I got diagnosed that night, said to my partner, like, oh, I better go to the health food shop. Didn't really know what else to do. I was like, just trying to clutch for some sort of control, I think, or just to make sense of it. So he said, I suppose I better go organic while I have my treatment. And he said, okay, I'll see you in a sec. So I went to the health food shop and bless him, he wandered over to Sainsbury's and he came back with two huge carrier bag fulls of like loads of organic food, and then came home and he just switched the cupboards round. And so I cut out any kinds of like preservatives and additives, and you know, in all my beauty products I cut out any like by nasties like parabens, sulfates, all of that kind of stuff, just everything, just in one fell swoop it was gone. And so I was like, within 2 weeks, even though I'd started chemo, I'd never felt better in my whole life. Like, no lie.
Yeah.
No lie. I felt incredible.
And, did you notice a big difference in the cost of your shopping?
Oh my God. I used to do like Lidl's £30 a week. I was good. Yeah. And it went through the roof. Lidl's do a lot more organic stuff now, actually, which is great. But at the time, that's one of the things that really does upset me. I mean, not in all countries, but in a lot of countries, you know, to buy food that's a better quality, you're having to pay more.
Yeah.
And that's another reason I like Croatia. They all grow their own veg. And
it's just, it's a lot more. Well, if you live in a hotter climate, you can grow a lot of your own stuff anyway, can't you?
Yeah, there is that. No, the cost did skyrocket. So these days it's about trying to look at, you know, if I have... Back then I was staunch, like literally the only concession I made for the entire 9 months was Hellman's. My sister even made me beautiful organic mayo, but it just wasn't Hellman's. It's like if I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die with my Hellman's. It's good. Now it's about eating organic where I can, not being quite so rigid with it, because you've got to live, you know. Try to buy like decent organic meat, and then I'd rather cut out meat and eat it organic where I can.
Yes.
Because you know, I used to be quite a large meat eater, and it's better anyway these days, I think, to be cutting it back out. I love the idea of
plant-based. I don't think I could live entirely like that,
but to be able to have a few.
I think it's all about balance. If you're eating good food, if you're having good quality meat once, twice a week or whatever, then it tastes nicer as well. Like,
yeah,
if you're able to afford, because obviously it is more costly, but you know, I agree with that. I'd rather
and it means it's been better because it means I'm able to shop a bit more local, which is good.
Yes.
I suppose because I'm in Brixton, it's just one of those areas that I'm lucky. But we've got an organic butcher's round the corner, not too far, which I think is one of the main reasons that my partner could get his head around it. Because even though he's old school, he's quite a bit older than me, and he's just very like, want my meat, two veg, you leave me alone, you take your tofu and you shove it type thing. And we found the butchers, and so that's like his little zone. He goes to the butchers and he buys loads of meat, and he's quite happy. Oh, he's been home like 2 days, and obviously I'm still working full time. My mum and my sister were like, well, normally we'd get him a bunch of flowers. Oh, I managed to not let my cat out. That was quite impressive. What are you doing, lady? I'm going to leave her floating around.
But they were like, normally we'd buy flowers, but obviously he's not going to want flowers. What do you think he wants? I was like, I don't know what he wants, but I'd love a cleaner for the month while he's home, please. So we've all pooled our funds, but it's really weird. I've never had a cleaner before. It's really bizarre.
You tidy up before they come because you feel bad.
Yeah. I know, there's a bit of that. I quite like doing it myself, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind cleaning. It's just the time it takes.
It's quite cathartic. Well, this is
it.
He's off home. He's home, excuse me, for the next 6 weeks.
Okay.
So I'm home this week to look after him, but after that I'm back to work full time, and it was just a bit like, the place is, it's only a small flat. I just thought, no, actually, and it's good for healing to have it all clean and tidy. So I'm just justifying it to myself. But to me, I'm like, it's just weird. But it's cool.
So you started making the body butters and stuff. Did you really enjoy the process of it?
I like the process. It's not very difficult. But equally, I like the process of creating and making. I used to make my own lingerie for a bit, and I did course.
Wow.
Yeah, learned how to make like bras and knickers. I wanted to get into corsetry, but So I'd been sort of looking for something to do as a sideline that was creative. The bras and knickers less so. I don't know. I enjoyed it, but it didn't sit in the way that this did. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just you find your niche in life, I suppose. And I started doing it, and I've always loved smells and scents, and so I've got loads of different essential oils, and I get to like create all these beautiful fragrances. And I've always been really into design and drawing. I was sort of learning tattoos quite badly for a while, and just didn't stick with that. So creating the logo and just designing it all and doing the research, and obviously because my sister had set up her own cake business, she was able to guide me, although she's she'll be the first to just... What was it? She said to me the other day something about business accounts, and I was like, what? And she went, anyway, I shouldn't probably grasp myself up on a podcast, but let's just say that I really need to get my house in order in terms of running my own business, because I just didn't have a clue. And she was like, but, and I said, no, she'll be fine. No, and she was like, hello. So, yeah, I'm going to sort that out. But I really enjoy it. And then a couple of years ago, went to a farmhouse with some friends. They've got like this beautiful old farmhouse in Wales that sleeps like 20, and then a load of basically all of us from our rave days all went to this farmhouse, and everyone's still friendly, some more than others, you know what I mean. I hadn't really seen anyone for ages because obviously I'd gone left field for a while while they all kind of carried on with their thing, and some have got kids, some run their own businesses. It's really healthy environment, and I thought I'll make some little body butters, so I took little jars up to take to everyone. And then I didn't think anything of it. And then a few months later, I got a call from one of them. Shout out to Neris, thank you very much. Who said, oh, can I buy some? Will you make some more? And I was like, oh, hadn't really thought about that. Interesting. And so I did. And then she came back a couple of times. And then it was the middle of lockdown. Yeah, so January last year. And I was just particularly broke. My partner wasn't working. I mean, he was working from home doing what he could. But, you know, it was financially stressful for most of us, I think the pandemic was. And had a whole online shopping habit with which to support, obviously, because there was nothing else to do. So I put a shout out on social media and said, like, listen, if I was to make and sell some body butters, would anyone be interested? And I didn't really expect anything to come from it. And it just snowballed. And I had like 60 pre-orders.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was really straight up about it, and I was like, people, you know, I'm going to just be honest, I'm going to need you to pay up front so I can get the materials. So Dada, I've not put a penny in of my own money in, and I've kept it separate, and it's just grown exponentially.
That's amazing.
It's been beautiful. It's been beautiful, and I'm feeling the love. And so I've had, I had quite a lot of sales that first year. Although for tax purposes, there might be donations until I get my house in order. So I had many donations that first year. And then I found like a selling platform that I kind of wish I'd found a bit earlier, because that it records the sales that you've had. And obviously it doesn't reflect
how many, but it's not a bad thing. And so now I've got like 4 or 5 different products, and I make hand creams and body butters, and I do a special one that's scent free with oat oil for babies or people with sensitive skin and psoriasis, which is magical stuff. I love it.
Wow.
It's been a really interesting year, actually. I feel like it's actually helped me in my proper career, so to speak.
Yeah.
My cat? No, she's under the bed somewhere. Because now I manage my own team. I work with Rough Sleepers in London.
Okay.
So that in itself is quite a pressurised, not environment so much as role. You take a lot of responsibility home with you, and you know, and trying to find the way forward with people, some of whom have been like really entrenched and out there for years, it's difficult. So this was just a really good way as well when I got home to just switch off and just allow my creative juices to be nurtured.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's amazing. So do you work every night?
I work daytimes. I work with my body butters.
Yeah.
No, what I tend to do is, so I make small batches. I do it sort of, depends how many have been sold. Like over December, for example, it went nuts. Literally, I was trying to interview for someone, for a colleague of mine. So we were doing this round of interviews. And afterwards, we turned the camera off so that we could, like, score everyone. And I'd be there like, sorry, sorry. And I was, like, wrapping body butters in the background. It was just mental. It just, every time I thought I'd finished all my orders, like, loads more would come. And it was brilliant. It was really good. But I couldn't sustain that all year round. I'd have to make a choice of which career was it I wanted. But actually, in a few years' time, when I'm running my own guest house and, you know, living abroad, maybe that is something that I can look to do.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? Where do you sell?
So I'm on Instagram, so dada.natural, or Etsy would be the one, really, but there's a link to it on my Instagram bio, but if not, it's Dada Natural on Etsy, and you'll see me there. It's like a little dark logo, which is a whole other conversation. Shout out, her name is Mandy Chilvers. She's an artist from the north of England who created the logo, and her stuff is just beautiful.
Where does the name come from?
So Dada was my childhood nickname.
Oh.
My sister used to, she could never say Esther, she used to call me Dada. so she's the evil genius that came up with the name. Yeah, but I've always had a lot of love for the Dada art movement. They talked a lot about not really, they weren't fans of the capitalist movement in any way. And it was just much more about being artistic and irreverent and silly. And I love all that. I love it. I love that concept. So it just sat quite nicely with my ethos.
Yeah. Oh, wicked. Oh, well, thank you for doing something nice in the world.
Thank you very much. Right back at you. It's good when we've got stuff for ourselves, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
You know. It's all very well being like, you know, mum or worker or sister or daughter or whatever it is. But sometimes it's nice just to have that little something that's ours. Yeah.
But then it's nice. You do a nice job as well, don't you? You help people. It's a nice thing to be able to help people, I think.
It's nice. But oh, my God, when you've been yelled at for an entire day, sometimes it can be a bit, you're a bit like, oh, really?
Have you always worked kind of in that world?
Well, no, because like I kind of have at ground zero for life, really, because until I got clean, I wasn't really working. I'd be like transient jobs doing like production stuff, or I'd be doing a lot of bar work, or I'd be like buying and selling things from my travels, that kind of thing. It was only when I got clean that I was like, okay, I'm gonna start doing something properly. So I kind of gravitated towards this. I started off working in like substance misuse, which is quite a normal road to go down. I tried to avoid it. I only wanted to get my motorbike license, and I remember going to they were like a educational organisation that gave out grants and saying like, oh, I want to be a courier. Will you help me with my license? And he said, only if you do something for me, I want you to go be a peer mentor. So I did, and it just all sort of started from there. But I realised I didn't really want to do that.
wasn't for me. No. So I kind of, yeah, ended up just gravitating more towards something that I found
just I was more passionate about, really.
Yeah.
And now I work within a framework called Housing First.
Okay. And
it's like a Swedish model. And as the name suggests, it's about providing people with accommodation and then put back around an intensive support, as opposed to the more traditional route, which is expecting really chaotic people to live communally in a hostel and somehow get their life together. And that's not going to be suitable for everyone. It's not very person-centered. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like the balance. I feel quite balanced. It's good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to talk to me. And I will post links to everything, obviously. But good luck with it all. I will be buying some stuff. I like a
thank
bit
you very much.
Thank you very much.
I want the kefir things.
Oh,
well,
yes. Yes, I need to write that down because it helps my anxiety, not my memory quite so much. So, we'll get there. But I think one thing that I would say as well about the Dada that I love is that I've always really been into wrapping presents, and I really love the whole process of like wrapping something beautiful for someone to like feel pampered at the other end.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
I get that.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right, love.
Nice one.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Give me a shout and I'll have a little listen to all your other stuff because I don't even know where to find you.
Yeah, no, I will. I'll send you it all.
Lovely.
Cool. All right. Take care.
Bye. Take care. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi. I'm actually in the front room with my daughter, Lila, at the moment, who's trying to find something to watch. And she just farted really loudly, so I don't know if you'll be able to hear that. But I'm going to leave it in if you can. I just wanted to, whenever I do a podcast, I ask my guests to record their vocal on another device if they can, because you can record the vocal on Zoom, but sometimes it doesn't sound that great. So I did ask Esther to record her vocal, which she did do, but for some reason, towards the end of the podcast, there just was these really funny noises. I don't know if she was holding her phone. It sounded really funny. So I had to cut the vocal out of the Zoom recording and put it in the place of the distorted vocal in the other recording. So that's why sometimes it sounded like she went into a fish tank. So I'm sorry about that. I did try and rectify it as best I could, but I'm all a bit new to Logic, which is the program that I use to edit the podcast. And I didn't know which plugin would be best to kind of disguise. Anyway, that's really boring. Epic Mum Chat, there's a new episode out and this is about feeling lovable. So if you don't feel very lovable, watch this and find out how you can change that around. We've got loads of other episodes out, so please give them a watch. That's the Epic Mum Chat on YouTube. I've got loads of other great episodes of the podcast. Please listen if you haven't already. I hope you're good. I hope you're well. Stay safe, stay sane. Big love to you all. Share me about. Sharing is caring. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast because then you just get it automatically every week. Did you just fart again? God. And also, subscribe to the YouTube channel for the Epic Mum Chat, because the more subscribers we have, we then get to name our own URL, so we're not just like, search for us on YouTube. You can actually just type in the Epic Mum Chat and it will come up. So yeah, anyway, big up. See you next week. Bye. Say bye, Lola.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.